All right, well, good morning again. Hope you guys felt welcomed and you have coffee, cookies, and all kinds of goodies going on this morning. Oh, man. How about you guys? But isn't it good to be in the fellowship of believers? Isn't it good to just feel part of the body? And so I hope you felt welcome and I hope you feel God's love here at this church. And when you see a brother and you see a sister that you see in authentic, like, hey, I'm glad you're here, right? And if you didn't come see me, if somebody was giving you the sideways look, I'll set them straight. Or I won't, but my brother's the enforcer in our family, so he'll do it. I've told you guys before, I've never been in a fight in my life. I did, actually, I lied one time against my brother, and I lost. And after that, my fighting career was over. I learned once. I said, oh, that's not for me. So, but no, I'm kidding. I hope you did feel welcomed. And I say for us, isn't it good just to be around, I keep saying it, to be around brothers and sisters, right? To feel the love. Because today's message is called Love Poured Out. Love Poured Out. And we're going to be spending some time in Luke chapter 7 about who actually pours out love. And it's kind of a little bit of a play on words. We're going to see a very unexpected person pouring out some love, and at the same time, somebody else returning that love. And so, I don't know about you guys. We went to you guys have been up to like worship, a man camp, or a different type of like either a retreat or a revival, and you got people from all kinds of different walks of life that go, and that's a cool experience, right? Because it's not just like your church, the people who you fellowship with, the people from different organizations that will go, and that's a really a blessed time. A few years back, we were up at Heartland, and I remember it was one of the first few times that the Fresno Mission started bringing brothers up. And when they showed up, they had about 20 guys strong, like, you know. And so that mission is, the guys from the Fresno Mission, to me, like, you know, honestly, they don't look like me. They don't talk like me. If I saw them in the street, you know, I would be the guy that was like, I'm going to walk on the other side of the street. Because those guys, some of the guys had, you know that you're like, you know, just be honest, in terms of the culture, you're a pretty bad dude when you get a tattoo on your forehead and on your face, yeah? I mean, that's number one, you're saying something. Number two, that's probably very painful. And so there was a few guys, I'll be honest, I was like, I don't want to do that. Which I have no tattoos, except for the one on my heart for my wife. You guys tell her I said that, okay? Make sure it's recorded. No, but no, when I saw them, I was like, man, these guys are like, you know, they were a little bit intimidating to me because but when the worship started, right, they are the guys that came straight to the front, like straight to the front. And from song one, we're worshiping God like nobody's business. It was awesome. Like song one, like full on, you know, some of you guys, when you're worshiping, you know, we're up here, we're leading. We know that the first song is like a high upbeat song. It's not usually till the second or third song until the Holy Spirit really has you, yeah? Is that you? At first, you know, you're kind of like, okay, I'm still thinking about what I had for breakfast. And by the third song, you're washing windows, yeah? That's kind of me. That's why it takes me a little bit. Not these guys. They were like, boom, first song, full-on worship, arms up. It was awesome. Guys on their knees, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And it was a little jarring for me because I hadn't been around that kind of worship, to be honest with you. But what was interesting is as the main speaker came up, there was a brother that was particularly like, he was the leader of that, I would call it set, but the leader of that group. And he was worshiping the hardest. And the lead speaker came up and he came out and he says, brother, you right there. He says, I want to tell you, never stop worshiping God that way. Never stop worshiping that way. And he looked at him, he says, I can see, brother, that you have been forgiven much. Keep loving God that way. And so that was, to me, it was an interesting experience. I loved it. I'm not, again, I'm just still, that's a good transition. And I wanted to kind of remind you guys about what we're going to be jumping into, because today we're going to read about somebody very similar in the book of Luke, who had a very similar experience of a big expression of worship. And it came at a big cost to her in that particular space where she was at. So if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to open to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be spending some time in Luke 36 through 50. Luke 36 through 50. If you have your Bibles or your phone, go ahead and get those open. Or you can follow along on the screen. We're going to learn more about somebody who really came forward and worshiped Jesus in an amazing way. You guys there? All right. Luke 7, verse 36 says, "One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 2 people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one bigger debt forgiven.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured out perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, and her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And the other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this even who forgives sins?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Amen. Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome passage of scripture, and it's just a great reminder and a visual of God's love and how he came to do away with the rules, of religion. So we always say, when we get into a passage and we read a big chunk of passage, it's important that we always talk about what? The context, right? So what was happening at this time? We're in Luke chapter 7. You guys remember that? And I preached a little bit about Luke a few weeks back, maybe like 5 weeks back, when Levi was called, if you guys remember that. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. 12 have been called. Levi and the other disciples have been called. Jesus is casting out demons. He's performing miracles. He's doing healing. And so he is near the Sea of Galilee in a city called Capernaum. You guys know that? You guys know there's a map? There's a Sea of Galilee right there. There's Capernaum right there. Remember, guys, I give you guys the dimensions, right? 14 miles this way, 8 miles this way. As a reference, what's the reference? Get into your car, drive to Parlier. You're from Sanger, there's Parlier. Get into your car from Sanger to Reedley. That's how wide that sea is, okay? So there in Capernaum, Jesus had just started his ministry, and people hear that he's doing miracles, and so that is the background. Now, this particular passage, he's in somebody's home, and he's having what? He's having dinner. Yeah, he was eating. And somebody heard, right? Now, the passage describes her as a woman who was sinful, right? If you guys have had your Life Application Bible, it'll tell you that it was a woman who didn't leave most likely she was a prostitute, right? If you know that. And so oftentimes, you guys have heard me say this before, there's a lot of confusion around different women and the anointing of Jesus particular, right? This is, and I'm going to speak a little bit more about it later. But this is not the one who you're thinking about. That's just a little cliffhanger. I'm going to come back to it. The first thing that we pick up in this passage, right, is that this woman is a sinful woman. She's going to a very dangerous place. Do you know where she's going? She's going to a Pharisee's house. You know why it would have been a dangerous place for her to be? Because what was the rule of law at that time, right? Could they have had anything to do? Now, the Pharisees are the super elite of the religious leaders. Yeah, you guys remember that? Well, the Pharisees, there's only about 6,000. There's only, of all the people, Jewish people, about a million at the time. Only 6,000 were in that super elite of Jewish people. Now imagine, how many times have you been invited to a place where you kind of felt like you didn't belong? Has that ever happened to you? You're kind of like, man, I don't know, like this is not the place for me. It's intimidating, isn't it? Particularly if you don't look like the people, you don't talk like the people, you have a different background, everything, right? And so imagine this woman building up the courage to go before Jesus. She's in a very dangerous place. And so the first thing that we're going to learn, the first fill in the blank and the first point for today's message is number one, is that love and worship is poured out in humility. Love and worship is poured out in humility. And we see that in verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and he went to the house, and he was reclined at the table. And the woman who had lived a sinful life learned that he was there, right? And she brought an alabaster jar her. And she stood behind him with his weeping on his feet, and she began to wipe his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed, and she poured perfume on them. Now, I just told you guys, this is a very interesting scenario that's playing out in this Pharisee's house. Number one, it came at a great risk to her. But she came in what? Complete humility. She came in complete humility because she knew what everybody else knew. Now, this is a reminder, right? As we read this passage, sometimes you will read it and we'll say like, oh, that's every one of us in here, if I'm not being crystal clear, is like that woman. Because every one of us in here is a sinner. Every one of us in here is broken. Every one of us in here has done things that we're not proud of. Every one of us in here is flawed. And if you believe that we're not, there's two people who are the key. I don't know if you recognize this. Two people in this passage that are referenced. One of them is the woman who had lived a sinful life. And the other one is Simon the Pharisee. Now, oftentimes, especially as we start walking with Jesus, do we find ourselves more like the woman being broken and saying, man, Jesus, I need you. I'm weeping at your feet. Or do you sometimes start to catch yourself acting like Simon? And you're just like, oh, well, you start to do what? To people come around. Because, you know, we live in a broken world, yeah? Amen? We all know people who are flawed, who are broken, who are going through some things. And it becomes very easy for us to say, well, see, if you weren't living like that, if you had made better decisions, if you were, be very careful, brothers and sisters. Because oftentimes, the road to becoming a Pharisee, it happens pretty quickly. Especially with the people who go to church a lot. Does that make sense? And we miss it. We miss the whole thing. We think we can be so close to God that you know so much about God. But you're far away from God. So it's a very stark, like to me, there's two different characters and perspectives that we have to be very mindful of. But love and worship is poured out in humility. In humility. And that's what Jesus is asking for. Now she comes, right, in absolute humility. Because imagine, I would say at the time, the people walked around with their chanclas, right? Not the Goodyear kind that you buy at the remate, but a different kind, yeah? They didn't have shoes, so their feet were always what? Dirty and dusty. I don't know about you guys, but like, are you guys feet people? Don't raise your hand if you're that's like your thing. That's okay. Inside, I know you might. Some people are like, yeah, like wakala. Like, you might be that person. Or like, but I don't know. Like, to me, that's kind of a, but would you wash somebody's feet with your tears and with your hair? And then would you kiss them? That's coming in complete humility, right? I told you guys once before, there was a brother and I, we grew up Catholic, and every so often they would have like a revival come into town, and people would bring in like this big speaker, and they would bring in, you know, nothing against it. And I would say, I'm very mindful of it. I'm not, that's the faith that we grew up in, okay? I'm not going to say more than that. But sometimes they would bring in even religious articles into the church. I think I've told you guys this one before. They brought in a Santo Niño. It was a little baby Jesus. And they made all 1,000 people in the church line up and kiss the feet of the Jesus. And I was like, I'm not going to go up there, remember? And everybody's like, I was telling my mom, I'm like, I don't want to do it, Mom. You better do it. Everybody's watching. You better do it. And I'm like going closer. And I'm like, my panic is setting in. I get into the front. And so me and my brother were like, what are we going to do? We're going to kiss the feet or not, bro? Like, what do you think? Let's just fake it. So me and my brother go to the front. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that Jesus is going to not open the gates of heaven for me for that. But like, man, I lied in front of the church. You know, so my mom wouldn't get mad and everybody, but it's like, hey, let's just fake it, bro, because everybody's been kissing that thing. Imagine? I don't want to kiss the little feet of the, I mean, the real baby Jesus, yeah, like you have a baby, it's cute, huh? It even smells good, but that baby, and all 1,000 people had kissed it, so no, thank you, I'm good. So, I don't even know where I'm going with that, but she was kissing the real feet of Jesus, right? Now, his feet were dusty and dirty. But she came in complete humility. Listen, God knows us. He knows our heart. He knows our past. God is sovereign. You can't, nothing you can hide from God, right? Sometimes it's like, you could think you can hide some things. You can't hide anything from God. He already knows it. He wasn't surprised that she came in. He wasn't surprised that she was crying. He knew her. And God knows you. And he's saying, listen, you want to come to me? You need to pour out, right, in humility. You need to come to me because guess what? I'm the one that's going to make you whole. I'm the one that can forgive. And so for us, we got to know that love and worship is poured out when we come in absolute humility before Jesus. Like the song that we sang at the end, take off your crown and all these things and your titles and your degrees. They don't mean anything to God because guess what? He owns everything, including your life. So surrender it to Jesus. Come in complete humility to him, like we see this woman. Now, number two, what we see here is that, let's keep reading, right? Because Jesus gives an awesome analogy. Now, isn't it interesting, though, that Simon is thinking, right, like, man, if he knew who was touching him, he would have nothing to do. But Jesus says something. He thought it, and Jesus read his, isn't that awesome that Jesus not only shows him, he says, yeah, I know what you're thinking, too. And he jumps right into it, and he gives him an amazing, he gives them a great lesson. And he talks about the comparison about how when love is poured out because of the forgiveness of our sins, we see, right, who owes what. And he gives a perfect example. It says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. And neither of them had money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them loved more, right? Now, Simon replied what? He said, of course. Right? He says, Simon replies, I suppose the one that has the bigger debt. And Jesus says, you've judged correctly. Right? He's judged correctly. Now, I don't know if Simon knew that he was talking about the two of them. But listen, you need to recognize we're all debtors to God. Some of us more, some of us less. But the book of James tells us what? That if we haven't kept the full law, that we are all guilty. And we all have a debt to pay to God. Does that make sense? And nothing that you can do can earn your salvation. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't. And so everybody in here is a debtor to God. And the only way that we're saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. He paid the debt on the cross for us. There's not a debt that we can do. And so I always say, there's nothing you can do. You can't work your way into heaven. You're not, salvation isn't even from you. Salvation is from God. It's a gift from God. Like I said last week, your life is a gift from God. And so we all have a debt to him. Now, what's interesting about this little section, right, is that there's a connection there. And he starts to draw it between the forgiveness and love. Because Jesus tells him what? He says, who do you suppose, right, will love him more? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love Jesus. You guys need to know that. I love me some Jesus. And I need him to be on my mind at all times. You know why? Because I know the sinner that I am when I don't have Jesus. I know the person who I was. I know how broken I was. I know what my life was like when I didn't have Jesus. And so guess what? That's us, right? We owe Jesus a lot. We serve out of overflow of love for Jesus, not because we want anything from you. We want you to have the full experience of who God is. The full experience to grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is. Right? We're not here because it's like sometimes people will say, oh, you're, you know, some, and I'm not trying to hear to talk, but sometimes the emphasis is on the growth and the church and the finances. And I was like, listen, God is going to take care of that. God already owns everything. Right? We get to participate in that. So we serve out of overflow of gratitude for who Jesus is and what he's done in our life. Because he's poured out so much for the forgiveness of our sins. And the more that we realize, right, how much we've been forgiven, the deeper our love grows for Jesus. Now, you don't have to tell me, but you know exactly what you've been forgiven of. Yeah? And so every time we think about it and we contemplate it, man, it should just bring us to an act of, it should bring us into worship automatically. Because we're not those things anymore. We're called children of God through faith. Amen? But Simon, right? You know, he was kind of a Pharisee. And he's like, man, I don't know if you know that person who's touching you. Right? She was not a person that he would have been associated with. She would have been a woman of the night. She was, you know. I don't know if you know this, but God does some awesome stuff. God does some awesome things. It's not by chance or coincidence, right, that this particular scene takes full. But let's continue on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's keep going to in the next passages, verses 44 through 47. Right? Let me read that again. Where it says, then he turned towards a woman and said to him, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept at my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Amen. Number three, love is poured out through worship. Love is poured out through worship. And what we see here is that she's being very what? Being very vulnerable. I don't know if you guys know this, but when you watch like The Chosen or you watch movies like about the Old Testament or even the Bible times, what do you typically see the women wearing? What do you typically see them wearing? A covering for their hair. Anytime a woman was in public, she always covered her hair, right? The gal that we're talking about here, does she have her hair covered? No, she had long hair, right? So that was part of what she used in her job. She also had a jar of what? Perfume. Now, this is Coach for men. My wife got it for me for Christmas, right? It smells pretty good. You guys want to smell it? No. Some of you guys are like, no. You guys are like, no. Do you have like a mother-in-law or mom that puts on like 5 squirts of this thing before they get in the car? I have both. I'm a blessed man. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Right? Some of you guys are giggling. You guys know what I'm talking about. So she used the perfume. She used her long hair. But listen, she was using what? What she had. To worship God. Do you see that? She had long hair. That was what she used to seduce men. But in this case, she was using it to worship God. She had the perfume in her hand that she used as well as part of her craft. And she was using it what? To worship God. See, every one of you in here, I just said it earlier, whether you want me to hear this or not, every one of you in here is a sinner like I am a sinner. And God wants to use whatever I have in my hand to worship him. So you may have a broken background, messed up childhood. It's an airplane. If Jesus is coming back, let him come back right now. Right? Amen? Let him catch you when he comes back at church. Right? What I'm saying, my point is to say, is like she was using what she had to worship God. Now you have been given something. You have something in your hand that you have to worship God with. It might be your past, your hurt, your struggle, your pain, your addiction, whatever it is. The things that the enemy would have used to shame you. Because the woman, what? She would have been shamed by her past. Everybody that was there knew her past, right? Everybody knew. It was like, oh man, that person. But no, she didn't care. She came in humility to worship God, to say, listen, Jesus, this is who I am. I'm going to worship you with it. Does that make sense? Some of us, we don't like to show that part of our life, huh? We want to show the good part. The part that you want to put on your Instagram and your Facebook that's like, oh, this is my best life, right? You don't want to show the ugly parts of your life. You got to use it for God. It's not for your, God didn't bring you through those pains and through those trials so you could just put them in your pocket and not let everybody see. The world that we live in is broken, brothers and sisters. He wants to use that for His honor, for His glory, so to bring more people to Christ. People, your testimony has power. And so we use that to worship God. Not to glorify ourselves. Let me make crystal clear about that. I don't want to be seen on Facebook, all kinds of stuff. Man, you should have known me. I was crazy back in the day. I was so crazy. You should have seen me. We don't want to hear that kind of testimony. We want to know that you, yes, you were crazy, but what does God do in your life now? Does that make sense? Because then you're glorifying the sin. Nobody cares about your glorified sin. We want to glorify God. Amen? So she had to break open that perfume. And some of you need to break open that perfume. And that's, you know, hey, now that one's a secret. Nobody knows about that one. Do you know what I'm talking about? But when you start to worship God, isn't it like the Bible says that we're called to be what? Like a fragrant aroma, right? We're supposed to be like, man, that guy smells good. He smells like 2 squirts of Coach. Ooh. I need some, when he's around, it's good, right? Amen? You guys are going to catch a whiff of it, whether you want to or not. Whether you want to or not, man, that guy loves Jesus, amen? Whether you want to or not, you're going to catch a whiff of it. Now make sure it's a good one, because some of you guys already know where I'm going with this. Oh man, that person, they're so religious, they're so uptight. Every time that they're around, it's so negative, it smells like something else, right? We don't want to bring that upon Jesus. We're giving Jesus a bad name sometimes. You know what I'm saying? A fragrant aroma for Jesus Christ. That's what God is calling us. To build our to use our testimony for His honor and for His glory. I'm sorry, if you guys got a headache, you got to move to the back. It's okay. Sorry. It smells okay, right? I wear it every day, so if it smells bad, you better tell me. Like 2 squirts, always. Not more. And I'll be giving people headaches in the car. And somebody that puts on 4 squirts, you need to play this message for them. 2 squirts is enough. Sometimes one. The bottle of perfume, right? Stays sealed. You can't use it. God can't use it for God's glory. But when you open it up, man, God could do something with it. Maybe God is going to use your testimony, your brokenness. Maybe you were an athlete. Maybe God wants to start a youth ministry for basketball or soccer or something. Maybe God wants to help brothers that have gone through addiction and pain, right? Our brokenness in our families. Maybe God is calling us to ministries and marriage. Yes, make sense? It's all for His glory. But we have to give it to Him, to be willing to humble ourselves and to show that side so that God gets the glory. True worship doesn't hold back. The woman could have been intimidated and says, no, I don't want to go. But she says, forget, I don't care what everybody else is going to think or say. I need to get to Jesus. Does that make sense? I need to get to Him no matter, I don't care what's happening. I need to get to Him. Number 4 is, love was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins when we receive God's peace through faith in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You can only be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on and He says what? He says, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't know about you guys, but isn't it good to have some peace? I mean, like a true sense of peace, like knowing that you're in the right place and the right calling, that God has you. And that doesn't mean, let me be crystal clear, that doesn't mean that you don't have problems. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have chaos in your life. That doesn't mean, but you, God comes in and gives you peace in the middle of the storm. And that comes by putting our faith in Him and knowing that He's God, right? He's God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, have we found that kind of peace? Or are we living like Simon? Are we judging? Are we thinking that if we're doing all the right things, that God is going to come? But man, we don't want to be like Simon. We want to be like the woman that comes before Him, that doesn't care about what anybody has to say and surrenders at the feet of Jesus. Woman's faith saved her. It wasn't anything that she did. In fact, do you see anything about her? Do you see that she even says anything? Do you see that? But Jesus knows it through her worship, through her obedience, and what she sacrificed. Jesus is calling. You better answer that phone. The woman found rest on that day. And the question for us is, have we done the same? And if we haven't, then when you go back to the feet of Jesus, will you surrender the crown and just go back to Him and listen? We can be redeemed. We can be restored through a right relationship in Jesus Christ. Right? Today we're going to celebrate communion because of a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And listen, oftentimes, I'm going to keep saying this, enemy and the gossipers in your life, they're going to call you by what? By our past, by our shame, by our guilt. Jesus doesn't call you by that. He calls you loved. Right? He calls you precious. He calls you His own. You know, and so it's important that you remember and you start to build your life on the things that matter the most. Oftentimes we pay a lot of attention to what people have to say, opinions and thoughts of created people. Build your life on what God says about you. Build your life on the promises of what Jesus has, and He is who He says He is. Come before Him and you give your life to Him. I promise you there's nothing that is better than that. And I said it last week, when you're walking in the purpose of what God has for your life, nothing is better. So we're going to continue just, for us, the challenge is not to be like Simon, even though it's we're going to be tempted to do it, but to be more like the woman who didn't care, who just wanted to worship at the feet of the Master. And that should be all of our encouragement today. Amen? All right. We're going to move into a time of communion now because, you know, it's important that we always recognize every 4 weeks here at our church, we want to remember and honor what God did. We only have two ordinances here in this church. One of them is communion, and the other one is baptism, right? There's a lot of things that people will add to it, but very simple for us. We want to remember what God did for us. And today we're going to celebrate what He did for us on the cross because I just said earlier, your love, His love poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And if you guys remember this, after when Jesus came into Jerusalem and in the last week of His life, He broke bread with the disciples. You guys remember that on Thursday. And it was also the Passover meal that particular time. He was coming into town for the great festival. You guys remember? Jewish people celebrated Passover as a reminder of what God has done for them to free them from slavery, free them from bondage. And on that night when the Passover, when the angel of the Lord came upon, you guys remember where there was an exit in Egypt, and they had to slaughter a perfect and blameless lamb for the forgiveness of their sins. And they had to use the blood over the doorstep. You guys remember that? And so the angel of the Lord was going to pass over and know, right, that they were covered by the blood. And we celebrate that here once a month. Because it's important that we be reminded that our sin cost Jesus something. It cost Him everything. And so that's what we celebrate. Because that's what Jesus did in the upper room as he broke the bread and as he gathered his disciples. And he was foreshadowing what he was doing, even though they didn't quite understand it. And that night he was arrested. You guys remember that? And on Friday he was beaten and tortured and flogged and humiliated, slapped and spit upon. And on that Friday he went up on the cross and he surrendered his life for the forgiveness of our sins. Now that wasn't it, right? Because 3 days later he rose from the grave, giving him victory over death, but also giving us victory over death when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're celebrating today. So let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God, your mercy over us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are reminding us through this woman in this passage in Luke, how you want us to come in complete humility. How you want us to surrender and give our lives to you. How you want us to stop caring about what people are going to think or say, but you want us to come before you to worship you. And Lord God, we are the biggest debtors, Lord. We have a debt to you that we can't pay. There's no way that we can't have a way back to you, God, unless you pay the debt for us. And you did that, Lord. You did that, Lord Jesus, by going through what you went through on that Good Friday. And you gave your life on the cross that we might be saved. Your word tells us that you didn't come to be served, but you came to serve, and you came to give your life as a ransom for many. That's us. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. Thank you that you are the perfect Lamb of God. That you take the sins away of the whole world, like John said. You are such an awesome God, Lord. We don't deserve it. We deserve your wrath and your justice, but you give us mercy, Lord God. And you give us the free gift of salvation. So, Father God, right now we're all praying, Lord God. Your word tells us, and it tells us very clearly, that we have to examine our hearts before we take communion, Lord God. Your word tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:27 that whoever drinks the bread or eats the bread or drinks the cup in a manner that is unworthy is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood. So we have to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and the cup. We don't want to bring discernment and bring judgment upon ourselves. So let me pray for our church right now, everybody, while we're praying, Lord, and you're praying individually for your families and over your own sin that you have to surrender to God. I'm going to pray for us and say, Father God, Lord Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for the sins that we commit. Forgive us for the sins of our disobedience, Lord God. Forgive us for the sins of omission, Lord God. When you're calling us to do something and we just say, somebody else will do that. No, forgive us, Lord God. Bring us peace, Lord God. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to your feet, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Thank you, Lord God, again. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. And for somebody that doesn't know who Jesus is today, you got to know that communion is for believers. Communion is for believers. We recognize what Jesus did on the cross for us. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now, there's nothing that will satisfy more. Our hearts are made for worship. Our hearts were made for communion and connection with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's you this morning. If you haven't fully surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to follow along in this prayer. But if you have, even if you need to recommit to Him, just follow along in the prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and you lived the life as a man and God at the same time. I believe that you gave your life as a ransom and for the forgiveness of my sins, and you died a horrific death on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I need you, Lord God. Help me to live from this day forward for you. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of salvation. And if you pray that prayer for the first time, take communion and also come see me afterwards. We want to encourage you and support you in your walk. But for the rest of us, thank you, Lord God. we are flawed, Lord God, but we know it cost you on the cross, Lord God, that it cost you everything that we might have a way back to the Father. We might be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're calling us in a deeper time of intimacy and relationship with you, Lord God. As we commune, Lord God, I pray that is my prayer for all of us, that we would just make knowing you and being with you the ultimate desire of our heart, Lord God, day and every day. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you again for the invitation to know you, to be known by you, to commune with you, to commune with you, to give our life in faith to you, Lord God, to have you be Lord of all of our lives, not just the small parts, but all of our lives, the Lord of our family, the Lord of our relationships, the Lord of our work. We be Lord of all things. And you are so good to us, Lord Jesus. We can taste it. We can taste and see that you are good. Father God, continue to watch over our families, our home, Lord God, our ministries, our children, Lord. Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters who don't know who you are, Lord, who maybe know who you are but have not surrendered their life fully to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be effective, Lord. Help us to see, Lord God, the people, the way, even those sometimes in our lives that we, the world will see them as undesirables, Lord God, but you gave your life for them. And so help us, Lord God, to see the way that you see, Lord God. Break our heart for what breaks yours, Lord God. Make us humble. Help us not to be religious individuals, Lord God. We don't need to be Pharisees, or we need to be people who are humble, who are poured out for you, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom and for your glory. Continue to use us, Lord God. Lord, I pray for our families and over our marriages, Lord God, our children, our home, Lord God. We pray for protection against the attacks of the enemy, Lord God. That when we step forward in faith, Lord, we know the enemy is going to be upset, but Lord, we don't care. We have victory in your name. We don't give him more attention than he deserves, Lord God. We give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord God, because you are so good, Lord Jesus. You are so good, Heavenly Father. You are so good to us, Holy Spirit. So equip us, Lord God, to do the work that you called us to do, to stand in the gap for you, Lord God, for our families, for our communities, Lord God, for our country, Lord. Help us to stand in the gap, to be a people that love you, Lord God, and love people. Thank you again, Lord God. Will you have your way with every person that is here, with every family that is here? Lord, I just say this, and I mean it wholeheartedly. We seek you out with all we have, Lord, to know you, to be used by you, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.